Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids Podcast, where we explore what connects us all in our yoga practice and in our lives. This is where I talk to people about their stories, who they are, what they've been through, and where they're going. And in this podcast, that's what we explore. I believe deep down inside, we're all connected, which explains why we bring ourselves to the top of our mat every day. Welcome to the Heartbreak Kids. Welcome to the next episode of the Heartbreak Kids. I'm here with Roderick. And Roderick has been a student for quite some time now. He's been pretty committed. We knew each other from like my previous job, and I got him to come into yoga class, which is, really cool. Especially in that industry, it's pretty awesome that you came in. Just because like how macho the people act in that industry. But, today we get to talk a little bit about Roderick's story and a little bit about what it means to like have a teacher and have some sort of guidance on his like spiritual path. And so I guess my first question to you, Roderick, we don't get to sit down very often.
No.
You know, and so I'm wondering, like, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I would really like to talk about, how the lessons in yoga have carried me off of the mat and into the new, my new sphere of work and my new career path and everything.
Yeah.
As far as...
Well, I mean, so let's talk about the lessons then. Let's start there. From my perspective, like watching you, like I've seen kind of the whole thing evolve. And what I mean by that is, like, I don't even know if you were like vegan before, you came into yoga, but like that seemed to happen like pretty fast.
No, I was not a vegan before I started practicing Ashtanga yoga. I was more inclined to be eating, I was still mindful of what I ate, but I wasn't, I really hadn't made that connection yet. But it was honestly, there's a Burger King down the street from Shala, and I would remember I would practice and then I would drive past the Burger King and I'd think, like, I eat there and there's nothing good that I'm going to put in my body from Burger King. So it just like, that was part of the connection that I made. And then it just, one day I got really sick off of eating meat and that was that. I just wanted fruit for a while after that. And
yeah, that happens to a lot of people, that they kind of go through those kind of like that evolution, people do it with smoking or people do it with like their drug use or people do it with like, eating sugar or, more vegetables or meat or no meat or whatever it is, where like the practice has like this therapeutic quality where it kind of like looks at the whole thing and says like, okay, well, what's suitable for me and what's not suitable for me? And like, you've went through some huge changes.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the biggest change that you've been through?
Aside from like becoming a vegan and, really focusing on, what I've done. Also, like, not long after I did that, I was able to stop. I stopped drinking as well. I remember one time I had like two beers on a Thursday night before lead primary, and then
oh my god!
And then Friday morning I was just like, I was dead, and I was like, all I had was two beers. Like, there's no reason for that.
Right.
And then that just starts to dig in your mind, and just kind of made me take it to a place where I was like, well, it's not benefiting my life anymore, so I need to remove it.
Yeah.
And then
orthopedic, it's surgical.
Yeah.
It like gets in there and the practice gets in and changes everything.
Yeah. I mean, cause you just sit there and you look at yourself all for however long you're doing the practice for each day. And then it sticks with you. I mean, like, to say that I'm not sitting there counting my breaths while I'm stacking the bananas at the warehouse, like I do. And I try to be mindful of every, like how I'm engaging with people around me or how I engage my daughter, mindfulness in that matter.
Yeah, so what other lessons are you taking off the mat and into your life? I mean, you just mentioned mindfulness, but I mean, is that something that, you try and bring in every aspect of your life? And did you learn that from your yoga practice?
Yeah, I mean, because when you're practicing, I mean, we're told keep our eyes on your own mat, stay focused on yourself in the moment and just work in that moment to take yourself to the next moment.
Yeah.
And that's, that's a big lesson that, like, with my next step of my pop-up startup business that I'm trying to start here, it's you know, you have to be in the moment to set up the next moment.
Right.
You know, it's like, without laying the groundwork, you don't have a foundation to build upon.
Of course. And so what is the foundation for you?
Well, the foundation was I was at my job where you met me. I stacked bananas, work in a warehouse, like you said, very macho driven environment,
right.
You know, a lot of, yeah, it's kind of toxic. But I was there and I was evaluating, like, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? I mean, I had a very comfortable position, you know, I still have the job. I'm very comfortable with it. You know, as far as like, I'm a manager, I make a decent salary. I don't really have to do that much. I have, you know, people I can delegate things to, and
sure.
I find the job very easy. You know, it'd be really easy for me to just sit in the office and just become just
one of
dull,
the other guys.
Yeah. Dull and conditioned. Like,
right.
Oh yeah. Like, oh, break, you know, it's like 5 o'clock, time to go get some beer and some hot wings. Like,
yeah.
Oh, what football game's on tonight? Oh, you know, like that type of existence. And that just, that lifestyle just became less and less appealing even before the yoga. But then I didn't know what to do. And then all of a sudden this guy shows up and he's like, hey, I need some organic bananas. And he's just like totally unaffected by these people I'm surrounded by. And I'm like, he's got something,
yeah.
You know, maybe he can share that. And I was looking for yoga, I guess. I didn't even know I was looking for it. But when you found me at the warehouse, like,
right.
I was actually going through like my relationship with my daughter's mother was dissolving and everything, and I didn't really have any direction. And like I said, I mean, I could have just sat in the warehouse and stayed drunk and, you know, just been middle manager for the rest of my life.
Of course. I mean, it's so easy too, you know, like, cause all of a sudden, like, you're trying to exit out of it and they're like, oh, well, how about another 10 grand?
Or, yeah.
You know, or how about another 5 grand on your salary? And you're like, oh man, Avery needs something, or,
yeah,
you know, all of that stuff. And you go down that path. That's how they kind of like hook you in. But you've been empowered to kind of change through the practice, right? I mean, you know, obviously the food stuff, but like, you know, you're doing this pop-up thing, which is like, seems like it's your passion and kind of like, what, I don't know, maybe even your purpose.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, I mean, I am very passionate about it. You know, I think it's very important because, you know, I see it as a way to like educate people too. I mean, you know, people, I hear the same complaints from people all the time. It's like, my stomach hurts and I'm tired. You know, and when people are, it's like, my stomach hurts and I'm tired, and they're only looking at like, oh, I did this or that, but nobody wants to take a look at what they're eating.
Right.
You know, and it's like, there's so much involved and it all happens in your stomach. And if you're not putting the right foods into your body, you're not going to get the results that you want.
Of course. Or you end up hurt, or you end up having depression or any of this stuff. I mean, people don't even understand like the amount of, you know, like how the gut has like this huge influence on our mind's activity.
Yeah.
And you put together that connection like quite fast, like in the practice. I mean, sometimes it takes people like years to get there.
Yeah.
Why was that the thing that you gravitated to the most?
I honestly really don't know. It was just something that, it was just a seed that got planted in my mind a while ago. You know, I'd always kind of looked at it as like, you know, kind of weird. And then also too, like the way I would feel after eating really heavy, you know, eating a heavy steak dinner, and then you just fall asleep, like,
yeah.
You know, and then it just sits in your stomach and you wake up the next day and you're kind of bloated, you're kind of groggy, and then you're like, oh, how am I going to feel better? I better go drink like a carbonated beverage. And, you know, like, so then it just creates, the cycle just repeats on itself. And then before you know it, you're like, you know, you're really, really unhealthy.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, in your stomach, but like it's affected your mind too.
Yeah. So how healthy do you feel now? Do you feel like you're at a place of health, like with your diet and your yoga that you weren't at before?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly feel like I've like kind of aged in reverse. Not like, you know, whatever, but I do weigh less than I weighed in eighth grade. I know that because in eighth grade, I wrestled 167 pounds. And now I could step on the scale right now and still make that weight class. I mean, I don't know very many guys that can say I weigh less than what I did in high school.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I weigh the same. So yeah. I couldn't say that either.
But I mean, like also too, I was, you know, I lifted weights, but I was following a different conditioned path.
Right.
The path of like, you know, we're going to connect aggression to our weight training. So it, you know, and you know, the football coaches always say, get angry on the field and go out there and hit somebody and just right. be angry and aggressive. And, you know, and that just feeds into your mind, and that conditioning transfers off of everything. And then everything becomes aggressive and you're just like,
all of it.
Yeah. Everything. You know, it's like even Absolutely. Like business practice, like it becomes a competition
and the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, I see business as a way to like my plan is to like educate people and bring people together. And that's kind of where, you know, like if I didn't sit there and try to be, you know, if I was trying to be aggressive and try to win some imaginary game in business, like, I don't think you're going to get very far, you know?
Right. I mean, it's really about service, or at least what I've found, like, you know, running the yoga studio is that it's about service. You know, it's like the customers or the students are the most important people, and like taking care of them, and, you know, also like being present with them, and, you know, and not like trying to be, I mean, we don't even really try and be the best yoga studio.
Right? Yeah.
You know, they do those little surveys like, oh, the best in Columbus.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't even do those.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I mean, because it's senseless.
Yeah, like, what does that, I mean, really, what does the best even mean? I mean, and personally, like, I myself, you know, I do have that background as being like a jock. And part of the appeal of the Ashtanga yoga is the physicality of it,
of course.
You know, myself personally, like I like to work myself to like exhaustion.
Right.
And like when I wake up, like after taking rest, it's like, I'm just this sweaty mess on the floor, reborn, ready to just like
right out of the womb.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's how I feel. Like, like I'm born again in this sweaty blob on the floor, you know,
You definitely work pretty hard. I mean, you know, like, what an awesome thing to like watch someone come in who isn't necessarily like good at yoga, like the traditional sense of like what good means, and like come in and like get better and better and better and better and better at it, you know? And so it's, you know, as a teacher, like it's obviously an honor to like kind of watch it practice. Like, you know, not too long ago, I was, you know, I kind of pulled you aside after class and I was like, you know, it's freaking awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's like, you know, I try to not like, you know, be concerned with the results of the practice, much like, and that's another thing too, like with the results of the business, like exactly yesterday I promoted this gigantic event, like, hey, I'm going to have biscuits and gravy, but I made a mistake and was unfamiliar with the cooking setup, and I ended up burning gravy. If you can imagine, it is possible to do. I did it.
Okay.
You know, so I have this huge event set up, and it's like all these people are here to eat biscuits and gravy, and it's like I don't have the gravy.
Oh, and, man.
And there was definitely moments of devastation, but you know, it's like again, it's like all I could do is just sit there and breathe and make like. Well, I do have my other options, you know, the vegetables, potatoes, wraps, and things.
Yeah.
So I was able to go through and carry on and serve a fair amount of customers, you know, but there was definitely the moment of like, am I even supposed to be doing this right now? Yeah. Like, is this even worth it? Like, you know, I lost money I lost money yesterday.
Of course.
And it's just like another lesson in what it means to be an entrepreneur and a human being. Like, even the best laid plans aren't going to always follow through.
That's true.
And, you know, it's similar with like a yoga pose or something, like, you know, like I, you know, come up too soon from, you know, catching or whatever. It's like, I don't know, you know, you just go back and you do it again, you know, like,
right,
I'll be back tomorrow or, you know, the next day ready to do it again.
Yeah. You know, it's funny too, because, you know, like, you know, just like you're being in like, you know, in our community and like watching you, like I'm inspired by like your growth as well. You know, like I know that maybe I inspired you to first initially start the practice, but I'm inspired by your growth. Like, I mean, you've taken a huge chance, like getting out there and like, you know, doing something that, you know, you basically started your own business and like you're doing a little pop-up, you know, food thing, or food events, and that, like, it's all kind of worked out for you. I mean, and even like how you're talking today, it's like it's inspired living instead of like what the corporate life, you know, really like kind of drills into your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool from my perspective because you weren't like this. You
know,
you were like more of a jock and you were more competitive and you were a little angry and you had a bunch of other things, you know, kind of going on at that moment when you started. But the other thing that really rings true too is that, you know, you got started and then you had like a major event happen. You know, you were in it for maybe like three or four months, and then all of a sudden you had a major event. You want to tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. So I started practicing, actually, it was like April, 3 years ago in April. And then 3 years ago in June, I'm an avid bicyclist, which is apparently not the best for your hips. But anyway, so I was riding my bicycle again. You know, I was kind of going through this this transitional phase where, like, my condition, the existence that I thought was, like, the end all, like, oh, I'm a middle manager. Oh, I got a house. Oh, I got a wife and a kid. You know, oh, here's my yard. Oh, I'm going to go cut the grass. Actually, I cut the grass, you know, and then I cut the grass and I took a little bike ride. But, and I, when I woke up from that bike ride, I was in a hospital bed. I'd crashed into the back of a parked car. I don't really remember, like, how or why, like, I was there, but I was in the hospital for 10 days, three of them in a coma. And then I kind of just mellowed out on the couch for, you know, a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then I remember coming back and doing the yoga again, just...
You had trouble breathing.
Easing back
into
it.
Well, I mean, and I didn't even actually know that it had happened to you. Like, we weren't friends on Facebook or anything at that moment. But I remember, like, sending you a text, and you were like, so consistent. I was like, what the hell happened to Roderick?
Yeah.
You know, like, all of a sudden, I thought, like, maybe, you know, like, he fell off the wagon, or corporate life is good for him or something. And then I sent you a text.
Yeah.
You remember that? I was like, where the hell you been?
Yeah, I remember that, because that was, like, I was at my parents' house, and you texted me really early in the morning, and I get this text, because I also, at that point, I wasn't able to sleep, like, all the trauma that I've been through, and, like, the medicine still running through my body and everything, and, like, you know, the big medicine that the hospitals had me, like, in a, you know, doped up in a coma, but I get this text from Taylor. It's like, he's like, where you at? I was like, I was kind of in a bike accident, and I shared a, you know, the bloody face and everything.
But... Yeah, he sent me a picture, and I was like, oh, shit. Like, we got a problem here. I mean, and your face was, I mean, it was swollen.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you had cuts and stuff around your neck. I mean, I think you're lucky to be alive, right?
Yeah, I mean, if honestly, like, I'll plug a... Wear your helmets, like, you know.
You were wearing your helmet,
right? I was wearing my helmet. It would have been way worse.
Really?
Because I would have put my head through glass.
Okay.
The helmet, like, just broke the glass, but, like, when I came back out, like, you know, I was, like, knocked on, you know, I had a concussion, and, you know, when I came out, like, I cut myself, like, all on the glass and everything. I mean, that was, you know, difficult, but... Even when I was laying there in bed, like, I was still trying to, like, you know, flex my hips a little bit, do what I could just from laying down.
Yeah.
You know, and I was still new to the practice, so I really didn't know how to, like, modify a hospital bed practice. But, you know, it was in my head, you know, and I knew it was like, I know I got to go back.
Yeah.
Like, and I went back, and it was difficult, you know, like, my nose was broken, I couldn't breathe through it properly, my brain's still sloshing around when you're moving, you know, looking at
I remember
at
that
stuff.
Was, like, maybe the major thing, those two things, like, you couldn't breathe, and you felt like everything was, like, spinning or something like that, and you're like, Taylor, I don't know if I can do this, I was like, well, just do the best you can.
Yeah.
But it helped, right?
Going
through the trauma, and then, like, kind of coming to... you know, like, breathing and being present on your mat, like, helped you, right?
Yeah, it definitely did. And I mean, and it just, you know, it just provides that, like, that that base work, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, and it really, really like helped me like to refocus and to, you know, go on the path of like, it's like, okay, like this already happened, so we just got to move past it. You know, it's like, here I am, like my, you know, my personal life dissolved, my physical body just, you
mangled
know,
or, just, yeah, hurt
just,
or whatever.
You know, basically set back to zero.
Yeah.
You know, because when you lay down for 6 weeks, like your body becomes kind of mushy.
Yeah.
You know, I was literally just eating ice cream and drinking Dr. Pepper, you know, for like 6 weeks.
Were a little chunky when you got back.
Yeah, I was.
I mean, but that's like rightfully so. I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're sitting still for a long time. I mean, it was a major trauma.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I mean, you know, that's a major, major thing. And I thought we should talk about it because, you know, like it's hard to come back after things like that. You know, like definitely question the process. And it wasn't like a yoga injury, but it was like definitely one of those things where it's like, it's hard to start back up again.
Yeah. I mean, so, and people are still like, I can't believe you still ride a bicycle. I mean, yeah.
It's just like riding a motorcycle. I wrecked my motorcycle. Everyone's like, do you have a bike still? And I'm like, yeah, I got one, you know.
I just can't give it up.
It's a passion, you know? So, well, let's talk about like your yoga practice, like specifically, like, you know, what's important to you or like, why does it matter that you have a teacher?
Like I said at the beginning, like, you know, I'd always kind of had like in the very back burner of my mind, like I could see through like the social conditioning, you know, I knew that like, it's like, you know, like in high school, like I was on the football team and I was like popular by default kind of. And like, you know, like I was in the in crowd and like, you know, I was just hanging out with my friends, you know, we just hung out and played football and everything. Right. But there's like a whole lot that goes with that. You know, it's like you get like some preferential treatment a little bit at school, maybe like get away with some things. Like even outside of that, you know, it was like the community turned a blind eye to like our partying and things like that, you know, like. It, you know, the cops would show up at our football practice and then they'd like disperse the parties on Friday night. Like, all right, guys, like just go home, you know, and we had that kind of a small, you know, that atmosphere, that culture, you know, and that was just the thing. And I kind of was like, you know, started to see through it a little bit. And, but I didn't know where to go with that.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, oh, so I see through it. So do I just sit around and like be drunk and cynical about the process or like is there a way to like, you know, do something different? And that was what you said to me like one of the first like the first two times we met at the warehouse. I mean, I know you were coming there, but I've only seen you there twice, like and it was just so random that it just that you were there and you were like, hey, yeah, if you want to try something different. And I was like, yeah, I'll try something different. And it works for me, you know, like I mean, that's, you know, you just showed me the way to like, it doesn't have to exist like that. You don't have to just be this, like, you don't have to be in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for the listeners, I mean, why don't you describe a little bit about how I teach you? I mean, because I teach everyone differently in the room. So how do I teach you? Or at least what's your perception of it?
I mean, you just, you know, you're very just like, you know that I can do stuff that I might not think that I, you know, was ready for or whatever. And then you just were like, you know, here, you know, you just do this now. And you don't like, you don't really have very much sympathy about it in the room, but I mean.
I mean, would you want that?
No, like.
That'd be weird. But, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, I definitely have like, you know, like reserves with, you know, my knee and whatever. But
right.
That's like lingering football injury and stuff. But yeah, it's still whatever. But. You know, I like that it's, you know, like I said, I was a jock and, you know, I like that. I like being pushed that way. It makes me feel like, you know, powerful to a degree. Like I have the power to like, I have the power to do this really intense practice every morning and just like, oh, well, hard part of the day is over. Now it's
all gravy.
Yeah. Until you burn it.
Yeah.
And you try again tomorrow.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty direct and forward with you. Like, I don't really pull any punches. I mean, I'm a little sarcastic to you at times, and also like, sometimes I'm kind of mean to you.
Yeah.
I mean, and not because like I expect a lot out of you now.
I know. You start posting illegal asanas on Instagram, and your teacher sees it, and then they're like, now you do these.
Yeah, now you're going to do them.
It's harder in the shala.
Yeah, it is harder, and it's harder after doing all of the asanas, yes. And then you finally get to one of the hard ones, and then you're like, oh, man, this is terrible.
These are long practices now.
Yeah, for sure. you got a super long practice. Yeah. So what are the things that, let's talk about, like, kind of the poses, like, you know, like you're catching your ankles and back bends and you're working on like Kapotasana, and you know, I just kind of gave you Bakasana recently. And so like, what are those things specifically, which I would consider like advanced asanas, like what are those teaching you compared to what the primary series was teaching you?
What's your
view on like what you learned in the beginning compared to where you are now?
Well, like, I still struggle through primary series because it's a lot of, you know, lotus positions and things, and I don't have the best hips and knees from, you know, I had a torn ACL when I was a freshman in high school, and then I improperly lifting weights, bike riding, running around on concrete, things like that. So those the lessons of primary series are like the consistent effort to make the change, you know. Yeah. It's like, I was thinking about this, like, I've been practicing for 3 years now, and it's like, you know, in the course of that time, I'm coming up on my 10,000th sun salutation, you know. Wow. What I mean, and that's something to, like, you know, they say it takes 10,000 times to master something. Am I a master sun salutator? No, but I'm working towards, quote, mastering sun salutation, and that's just like the consistent effort is what the primary series teaches me, is that you just have to, you know, every day you got to go and chip away. And then with the advanced asanas, as we'll call them, you know, I mean, that's just like after you've done, you know, you've taken care of what needs to be taken care of in primary, and then you go out and you go achieve something. You go out and you start a restaurant or you start a company. You know, and there's members of the community who I've seen do the same thing.
Of course.
And that's inspiring, you know, to sit there and practice next to people.
And, you know, like, you know, officiating weddings and, you know, like all different types of stuff like we've seen come out of our community. It's been freaking amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's a group of like, you know, powerful people that, you know, come together and just get, you know, sweaty in the morning together. But it's like... It works.
It does work.
It works.
I mean, it helps with clarity of mind, and it helps with like getting you focused, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you think that's maybe the biggest takeaway, or like why you feel empowered to like start your own business with Avery's Kitchen?
Yeah, you know, it definitely like helps you to focus, and it instills like self-confidence and courage in yourself, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I can do these things because like, I don't know, you know, just through this, the constant effort, I'm able to do these things. And if I go apply constant effort to my startup, you know, like I went and I had a, you know, an impromptu meeting today, just like I randomly just talked to, you know, someone in the vegan community of Columbus, you know, and I was just, you know, they're a pretty prominent restaurateur around here. And I was like, hi, I'm Roderick. Like, you know, we should know each other.
Right.
And she was upset that she didn't know me sooner. So it was just like, what are you waiting for? You know, it's like, you're never really fully ready for anything. But as long as you just take the direct action, you can work towards getting there.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, specifically, you know, we were talking about what the primary series offers you, but like, what is it about the advanced asanas that like really kind of, you know, helped you, or what's the lesson that you learned or whatever from an advanced asana that's different than the primary series? Like, we almost got to that, but like, I mean, what's Kapotasana taught you? Like, what's, you know, like, what is jumping into Bakasana, or what are these things taught you? Because I mean, you don't necessarily like have what I would say like the yoga body, you know, like you got tight hamstrings like me, you got a bum knee. You know, like my bum shoulder, like, you know, we don't have necessarily, you know, we're not perfect, but it gets us something that I can't quite pinpoint.
I, you know, it's really, it's difficult to explain and quantify. You know, I mean, it's something that I just like, you know, because the practice is, you know, we practice together, but, you know, it is an individual practice. That's what I really like about it. You know, you do come and you meet the student where the student stands.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's great. But it's just the sense of like, I can do these things. And so if I can do this, I can pretty much do anything else that I set my mind to, because I'm just going to sit here in this very uncomfortable, very like austere position, you know, and let you move my hands up my shins and try to grab my knees, like, and I'm bent over backwards. Like, you know, that's like extremely random to be doing at 6:30 in the morning, you know,
or at all.
Yeah. And then you just, I don't know. You just have a different, it's like a different, I don't know. It just teaches you to just take those little steps.
Yeah. You know, like the saying, or like the little phrase that I hear in my head is that I'm capable of anything.
Yeah. One of the things that I like to tell myself when I'm practicing, because I am, you know, into that really long stretch of practice now. Right. It's like, well, why be weak now? You know, like on a jump through, like, you know, I could, you know, I don't have the perfect float through yet, but like, I'm establishing a pattern to get there. And, you know, it's like, well, why be weak now?
Right.
Why just, you know, why take the easy way to jump through or jump back? Or,
yeah.
Or why just, you know, why be weak now in that moment? It's like, you're just here. Like the other moment where you were gasping, it's over now. So we're in this moment and be strong now.
Right. Present.
Yeah. It's just like yesterday when the gravy burned is like, okay, we've got to be here now and deal with it. Like, I have to tell these people, like, what you came here for isn't available. I have this other option. And ultimately, it was, you know, it was a good lesson. It wasn't the best lesson to learn at the time. I mean, as far as, like, what you think is going to happen, but, you know, you never know what's going to happen. It's, life's really random.
It is random.
And
What do you think about, like, you know, as you move forward with your practice, like, I mean, what do you think like the major roadblocks are for what you got going on, like, with your practice?
Well, again, I mean, I'm just like my hips and knees and things. I mean, those are the problem areas that I would call my practice. You know, getting into the tight lotus positions and things like that, you know, I don't know. You know that thing where they go upside down and snap their legs into lotus? Like, I mean, I can sit up there upside down on my forearms for a while, but I don't, you know, getting my legs to even come together, like, when I move them with my hands, like,
yeah.
And then it's like, oh, go upside and do that without touching them, like, I'm like... That's gonna be a while.
Your roll. You gotta put your legs behind your head first.
I think, but that motion's kind of, for me,
it's hips though.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. It's like the knee is what bothers me more. Like, the hip is a little, the hips are a little opener than the tightness in the knee.
Yeah, I mean, they're related though.
Yeah, yeah. Leg behind the head stuff. I don't know.
What's the stuff that gets you the most frustrated in your yoga practice?
Marichosmas.
All right. And those are most of the time, like, where I'm being mean to you at, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be in leg class and you're not binding and, you know, whatever one it is. And it's like, bind your hands. What are you waiting for?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's all, you know, those are all the consistent effort lesson. Like, you know, I've done it, like I said, you know, 3 years now.
Yeah.
And it's,
I mean, it's gotten so much better though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and also, like, you know, you're consistent in the morning now. You were practicing in the, you know, like, in the evenings.
Yeah.
And like, you're in the mornings now. I mean, has that been a shift in your knees, or has that been better or worse, or
the practicing and just consolidating and practicing in the morning has been very beneficial. And I know that, like, I can't make it every morning because of the schedule with my daughter and everything, but I still, when I have my daughter, I home practice at 3:30 in the morning. Verify that on Instagram.
I'll just send you a little check mark.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's the because I was practicing, you know, practice in the night and then practice in the morning, practice in the night, practice in the morning. And that was partly because of the scheduling with my co-parenting schedule with my daughter. But also, too, at the beginning, I needed something to do in the afternoon instead of just like going out to get drinks or something. And I mean, and that's what really like what, you know, that helped me to, in the beginning, I needed the nighttime because like I didn't know what else to do with my time. Because it was only just like, oh, you got off work. So, you know, Lucky's is just down the street. This is beer and chicken wings and sports is on TV. And, you know, I needed something else to do when I didn't have my daughter and
well, especially, you know, because it seems like you were kind of replacing negative or, you know, behaviors with positive behaviors.
Yeah.
You know, and so like replacing those at the time that you're actually doing them was probably pretty important at the time. But you don't need to do that anymore though, right?
Yeah. You know, like now it's like, I like to have the afternoons. In the afternoons, I can try to develop a new recipe, or I can go promote my next event, or I can go and, you know, spend extra time with my daughter and things like that. And and it's, you know, and like I said, you know, you start off in the morning with, you know, your sun salutations and you just go from there, and you know, the whole day is just better for
you think,
me.
You think that you're a better dad as a result of practicing?
Absolutely, 100. You know,
how so?
100% agree with that. I mean, it just like it, you know, it teaches you to be mindful in the moment with the child, like, you know, and to be able to sit there and like let them enjoy something without like imposing what you think they should be doing, or like, oh, I don't want to just sit there and, you know, watch her play in the grass. That's a waste of time. Or, you know, but also, too, you got to strike that fine line of like, you know, letting that just develop. And then it's like, okay, well, it is time to go now.
Yeah.
Right. We do have, you know, our obligations.
So you're not a helicopter dad?
No, not a helicopter dad. Try to teach her some yoga sometimes. She kind of, you know, I don't like force it on, but if she wants to, she has a little yoga mat, and if she wants to roll it out and, you know, we can do like a few postures together and sit there, and like, if I can sit, you know, and she knows how to meditate. So if we can sit there and, you know, do like 5 minutes of like postures and, you know, like just meditate for a few minutes. Like, I think that's pretty good for a 5-year-old.
That is super good. Well, I mean, and just think about if her dad was, you know, going to the bar and eating chicken wings.
Like, you know, it's like,
what would she be learning then?
Yeah, you know, like, I could have trained her how to go get beer out of the refrigerator, or I could have, you know, teach her asanas. It's like, you're going to learn asanas. Like, deal with it.
Wow. So many changes. Well, tell me a little bit about like kind of like your vision for what you're trying to do with Avery's Kitchen. And like, you know, tell me a little bit about like how people would kind of get involved in it.
Okay. Well, I live over in the Bexley area. It's a very nice section of Columbus. And what I'm doing is I'm establishing my presence in the community. I've been able to work out a partnership with the Bexley Coffee Shop. They allow me to take over their kitchen one Saturday a month, and I cook food and I serve it, and it's just a matter of like generating the presence in the community and getting, you know, I've got repeat customers that I don't know that came to the Bexley Coffee Shop like the first time I did it just randomly, you know, to get their coffee, and it's like, hey, would you like to get breakfast too? They got the breakfast and then they came back. You know, there's a few customers that I've recognized as repeats. You know, a lot of people from the community will make the trip over there and get breakfast and such. And, you know, I'm able to, market it through the channels of instant, you know, of social media and stuff through Columbus. But what I would, you know, what I would like to see happen is to get a diner over there, diner style, you know, kind of
in Bexley.
Yeah, in the Bexley area, 43209 area.
Yeah,
because I mean, they got a lot of food selections over there, but again, it's all really just the same. I mean, it's like, which one of the three sandwich shops do you want to go eat at today, or
or Asian places, or
and it's all kind of that
Mexican restaurant.
It's all that conditioned, like, it's just like, this is what's available. Like, here's your options. It's like, no, you can make other options, and you don't have to just follow that you don't have to just follow the path laid out by everybody else.
Yeah. Is that what you feel like you're doing? Is that you're giving people like an alternative to just like kind of the standard living?
Yeah. I think like, you know, I mean, like once I can, you know, like high-mindedly like influence people to, you know, adopt a more plant-based lifestyle and diet, like the results there will then encourage that person to take more steps towards it. You know, like I mean, I feel so good. Like I'm like addicted to feeling good in my body now.
That's awesome.
You know, like I wake up in the morning, I'm like, ah, oh, yeah, it's 3:30, but like, man, I'm great. Like, like I can be awake right now.
Awesome.
You know, like I can go.
I can do this thing.
I can go do the things and
Do the hardest thing ever at that hour in the morning.
Yeah,
it's so crazy, you know, isn't it?
And it's great. Like, I mean, like. I used to, I mean, it's like noon on a Sunday and, you know, I would just now be rolling out of bed, like complaining about something, you know, and then the whole day is just downhill. And then by the time you know it, you're upset you're at work. And I mean, even working like in the environment in which I do, which is toxic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've been there, you know, it's not for this place, but, you know, I mean, like I've been, you know, like I said, I've become like you were, kind of unaffected by it.
Right.
You know, it's like the way I see myself there is like I collect information from the banana inventory. I count my bananas and these are the bananas that we have. Like, there's nothing, you know, and the people I work with want to make stuff personal or, you know, try to get into like little pettiness and displays of power. And it's just like, I'm not here to do that. I'm here to serve people bananas. And that's like what that's the one thing I do hang my hat on at my current job is that I am at least providing, you know, healthy food to people.
Right.
And again, you know, that's just kind of like,
it's continued on.
Yeah. The precursor to like, oh, hey, why don't you just go make your own food and give it to people?
You know, I worked in that same environment and like, I guess my biggest takeaway is if I used to say to myself, like, if I can be happy here in these circumstances, I can be happy anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And that was like, I learned so much about how like I would get affected by things. And then all of a sudden, like I practiced so much yoga that I was like removed from it. And people were like, why do you not care about this anymore? And it wasn't that I didn't care about it. It was just, I was unaffected. I was unable to like go on that emotional train with them. It was almost like emotional discipline.
Yeah.
It was like one of the most freeing things that had ever happened to me where I was, you know, in the situation, in the work that I was, you know, supposed to be doing at the time. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a second. Like, I don't have to like get competitive or be a jerk or get angry or, you know, write a nasty email. I can be outside of that.
Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, so, you know, you recognize the problem. Okay. And it's like what I've noticed is the conditional response is you just like, argue about what caused the problem with each other and you're not looking for a solution.
Right.
It's like, okay, so we have awareness of the problem. Now we take that awareness and we move forward to solve the problem and maybe set up a system where we don't have that problem again.
Right.
You know, because there's always, you know, operational efficiencies and logistical things and business talk that you can do. But if you're just going to sit there and like, oh, well, this happened, so we need to do, you know, and blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
This is counterproductive and people just get really.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been a very interesting conversation. So it's always good to get to know you a little bit better. You know, you're important in our community. You know, I think people like having you there. I think people like the effort. Your effort carries through the community. So I appreciate you being on the show and kind of sharing a little bit about your story and kind of like how yoga kind of makes you tick and how it's changed your life. So I really appreciate it, Roderick.
Well, yeah. And like I said, you know, I really appreciate you being my teacher. You know, like I said, you know, you came and saved me from that space where I didn't know how, like I knew I needed to get out, but I nobody showed me how, because everybody was just showing me like, no, you just entrench yourself further into it. You know, like, once you get, you know, to the next level of management, well, then you just buy a nicer lawnmower.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, or, you know, it's just like, I don't want a lawnmower.
Right.
Like, it's not something I want.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for being on the show. I appreciate you sharing your heart and your soul. Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want more information about Ashtanga Yoga, visit ashtangayogacolumbus.com. You can also check out my website, which is taylorhuntyoga.com. See you guys next time.